Okay, today's daf is Tzadichet. We're going to finish the 11th parak, and hopefully we'll, since there's no shir tomorrow, it's Shabbat, and there's no shir on Sunday because it's Tishabah, so I'm going to try to go a little farther than usual. Okay, we were in the middle of a question, which we got off in a long-winded answer. The question was, if you look... Okay, Eshkechan Chatat, it's three lines for the lines get wide on Sadi Zayin Amabet. Eshkechan Chatat Mitkadesh Bebalua, Shar Kodeshim Minalan. So we see the Chatat from the Pasuk, if it touches another piece of meat, whatever gets absorbed into the other piece of meat is going to have the status of the Chatat, meaning if it was a Chatat Pasul, it will also be Pasul. If it was a Shlamim, it'll have the Dinim of a Chatat. So how do we know that that doesn't only apply to a chatat, which was the context of the psukim, but how do we know it applies to any other kodeshim? And from there, Shmuel said, in the name of Rabbi Lezer, Zot haTorah lo'olah ul'mincha ul'chatat ul'asham ul'milwim ul'zevach ha'shlamim, which meant that we're going to compare, we're going to learn from each of these topics, we're going to learn to all the others. So we were off on a tangent because we were getting into the where do we learn from Ola, which was that we learned that we do all the shechitas with a knife, and they learned that from the Akedah. Then we learned with the Mincha, that the Mincha is only Zichrei Kehuna, and then we ended with, well, don't we learn that from another Pasuk? In other words, the Chatat, the Yashamit says it explicitly, and then they said, oh, it's the Shalmei Tzibor, but they said the Shalmei Tzibor we learned from a different Pasuk. So they say, oh, well, it's Machloket Tanaim, whether we learn it from this Pasuk or whether we learn it for the other Pasuk. And now we're finally getting to the answer to our question within this drasha. Chatat, what do we learn from Chatat? So we're at the second line on Tzadi Chanamur Aleph. Ma Chatat mitkadesha bibalua, af kol mitkadesha bibalua. Just like the Chatat causes the other item to become sanctified like that Chatat, if it touches and it transfers flavor or it gets into the other one. So it's likewise the halacha for all of them. Okay, that was it. That was why we brought this whole long thing just for that one line. Okay, Asham. Well, we're continuing in the pasuk because we're going in order. It was ma zot haTorah la'ola ul'mincha ul'chatat. Now we're up to la'asham. So what do we learn from the asham? Ma asham ein shvir u'shilya kadosh bo av kol ein shvir u'shilya kadosh bo. Okay, this is to teach you that by the asham, it can only be brought by a zachar, which means there is no shvir and shiliyah, that means the amniotic sac and the placenta, which wouldn't happen in a male ever. So because of that...
It is not placenta, does it matter?
The shiliyah is the placenta for sure. The shvir is the amniotic sac. They say shiliyah is...
Fetus.
Fetus?
They say fetus and amniotic sac.
Uh-huh, interesting. Okay. Oh, so right, the shiliyah, I guess, could be considered the amniotic sac. The amniotic sac. Okay. But either which way, there's actually a whole debate here. What do we mean about this? So that means that if you bring a female korban and it's pregnant and there's a fetus inside, so there's a debate about what exactly this means. Does it mean that you don't burn the fetus on the, you know, once they slaughter the animal, you don't burn it haftarat imurim? And do you not take the imurim from the fetus? Or do you not burn the fetus at all? There's a bit of a debate exactly what this means. So maybe that also has to do with what parts you're describing. I think in the Steinsaltz, the Dafka called it the placenta. But also, that's the Hebrew word for placenta, shilia. So I don't know why they call it that over there. But I don't think it has major ramifications either which way. I'm just going to look for a minute. Fetal sac and placenta, that's what they call it here. Which matches much more the Hebrew words, right? The meshvir is the amniotic fluid, and the shilia is the placenta in modern Hebrew. So, I don't know. So, they basically say that if the mother's slaughtered, right, for the sake of a korban, the fetus is not kadosh, okay? Rashi says that it has to do with the chelev and the klayot, that you don't burn the chelev and the klayot. That's the parts of the animal that you burn. You don't burn the chelev and klayot of the fetus. So there's a bit of a debate. Do we mean the whole thing? Do we mean parts of it? Kasavar. Okay, so now, what does he hold by? Vladot kodeshim b'havayatan. Kasavar vladot kodeshim b'havayatan hen kadoshim. The vladot are kadoshim only once their havaya, once they're actually born, and not before they're born. Vidanin, and here we have to say a big deal, which is danim efshar misha efshar. We've had this before. What does this mean? We learn a halacha where it's possible from a halacha where it's impossible. Because by the Asham, it's impossible for there to be a shaliyah and a shvir because it's male. And therefore, we can learn from here, even when it is efshar, we can learn it from an efshar. Okay, which is like a chidush that you can danim efshar misha efshar. You would have thought maybe you can't because there it's efshar, so you can't necessarily learn that for a case where it's possible. But no, in fact, you do. Miluim. Okay, what was the miluim? The miluim, it's actually interesting, the miluim were in this pasuk, because the miluim were discussing something that happened on a one-time thing. It was the Yimei miluim when they consecrated the Beit the Mishkan. So there were special korbanot they were supposed to bring. So now we're going to learn from the miluim. Ma miluim motrehen bisrefa. It says it there by the pasuk, that whatever is left, you burn. Okay, all the leftover parts. Af kol motrehen bisrefa. Okay, likewise, any other, any parts that are left over have to be burned, right? That's notar, basically. Okay, they're basically saying the root of notar started from the miluim. But, ein ba'ale chayim b'motrehen. But, if you have leftover animals that are not slaughtered, those are not burned, okay? Now, what does this mean? This is a classic, we've had this many times, where you separate an animal, and then you lose the animal, and then you take a different one in its place, and then you find the first animal. So if you remember, the chatat, we have to leave to die. The asham, yiru ad shi yistavu, remember, you have to wait till it gets a moon, because it was already sanctified, there's nothing you can do it. But no, what don't you do with them? You don't burn them. Okay, if it was leftover meat, you would have to burn it. No tard. Whatever's left over, you have to burn. So here it's telling you that if there's animals there, right, they're not burned. Af kol motrehen b'strefa ve'im ba'ale chayim b'motrehen. Okay, likewise, all the other korbanot, whatever's left of them, notar, is b'strefa, of the meat, but if they're still alive, they're not burned. Shlamim, ma shlamim mifagim u'mitpaglim, af kol mifaglim u'mitpaglim. The whole din of pigo was said by shlamim, if you remember. If you don't, we'll remind you. So, therefore, they're going to say, there's actually, again, a debate here. What does it mean, mifaglim u mitpaglim? Okay, mifaglim means they cause something to become pigul, which you could say, when you shecht a shlamim, you can cause the animal to become pigul. And mitpaglim, it becomes pigul if you have the wrong machshava. But since it sounds like it's talking about some other item, so Rashi says it means that if the korban itself becomes pigul, if you sheft it with the wrong machshava, also the nisachim that go along with it, that's what it means mifaglim, it causes something else, a separate thing, not itself, it causes the nisachim that are supposed to go along with the korban to also be considered pigul. And then we would learn that halacha to everywhere. So there's a bit of a debate about what exactly the meaning of this is. This was all to answer, like I said, just to review, the question about chatat mitkadesh bebalua, what about shar kodeshim? So we said it's from this pasuk which compares all these to each other. Now we're going to learn that there's a different version of this. B'manita tana mishmeda Rabbi Akiva, in a different braita, it says in the name of Rabbi Akiva, a different drasha. It starts off with mincha, okay, and that's what he's, not necessarily it starts off this way, but they're going to quote to us the part that's different. Our braita said from chatat, we're going to learn just like chatat is mitkadesh b'balua, if something's next to it and it gets absorbed into it, right? It's going to take on the status of the chatat. So now we're going to say that actually that halacha is learned out to all other korbanot, not from the chatat, but from the mincha. Ma mincha mitkadeshet bebalua. Okay, this comes from, because there's another pasuk there, I don't remember by heart, I'm trying to see if it says it here. Maybe Rashi quotes it. Doesn't quote it. Okay, there's a pasuk also which says kol adogea ba'yikdash or something along those lines by the mincha. It probably says, let me see, find it somewhere here. Okay. Okay, so let's open it. Kol zachar, yeah, zotarat mincha. Okay, that's pasuk zayin, and it continues to talk about the mincha, and it says kol zachar b'bnei aron yochlenu chokolam l'dorotachem meishe Hashem V'chol asher, or not v'chol, it just says, kol asher yigabahem yikdash. Okay, so there you have it in the mincha. So first of all, there's a bit of a question, which is the Gemara is going to ask them, why do you need it both in the chatat and the mincha? If you can learn from the mincha to everything, why is the pasuk going to say about the chatat? Why they didn't ask the question previously, in the first case when we learned it, it should have asked, well, if it learns from chatat to everything, why does it say it in mincha? I don't know why the Gemara didn't ask it, but we'll leave that aside. So now they say, ma mincha mitkadesha bebalua, af kol mitkadesha bebalua. And now they say, v'itzrich l'michtav mincha, v'itzrich l'michtav chatat. So now they have to say mincha, and then for mincha learn to everything. And they also need to say a unique pasuk by chatat. Why? De'iash me'ina mincha, de'aydi de'rechicha mivla. Ava chatat emalo. You might have thought that the steam would only apply by the mincha, which is soft. Because if something's soft, it's easier for the flavor to pass. But chatat, you might have thought, no. V'yash me'ina chatat mishum de'karir. The chatat is very fatty. When you have fatty things, the fat can ooze into something else. Aval mincha emalo, but you might have thought not the mincha. So that's why they teach us that this comes to teach you the two different types of substances. You know, the flavor can be passed in both, and we're going to treat it the same. Okay, and therefore tzricha. Chatat. Okay, so now, if he doesn't darshan from chatat about mitkadesh b'balo, what does he darshan from chatat? Ma chatat eina ba ela min achulin, ubiyom, uviyado hayimanit, af kol eina ba ela min achulin, uviyom, uviyado hayimanit. We're now going to learn three things from chatat, although in a minute the Gemara is going to say basically the last two you really didn't need to teach us, they were just kind of are mentioned, but we already know they apply to everything. But really the important one is the first one. But anyway, we'll go through all three. So the first thing is you can only buy a chatat with chulin money as opposed to maser sheni money. Remember, maser sheni money is you bring your perot teretz to Yerushalayim. If you can't bring your perot, you bring money because it's too much to schlep. You do pidyon, you turn it into money. That money has kedusha of maser sheni. There's actually a machloket whether we treat it as mamon gavoa or mamon hedyo. We learned this before. Is it treated like hekdesh mamash? Or is it treated, since you're supposed to eat it yourself and as you're supposed to take it, buy stuff in Yerushalayim and eat it? And you can buy, by the way, not only fruits, you could buy meat. So you might think you could buy sacrifices. No, it's perfect. Let's say you have to go for your chatat. You have to go buy your, anyway, going to the mikdash now to eat your fruits. And you're also chayav a chatat. So let's take my money instead of wasting it on buying other food. Why don't I buy a chatat? That's not allowed. Okay? Even according to the one who says it's mamon hedyot, still he says you're not allowed to buy chatat with it. Okay, so just like chatat, you can't buy from maser sheni money. Also, any other korbanot can't be bought with the maser sheni money. Uva yom, it has to be done during the day. Uva yadoa yimanit, and with its right hand. These we already learned, by the way, that they apply to all korbanot, right? That they all have to be done during the day. We don't do sacrifices at night. And also, it has to be done with your right hand. So therefore, af kol enabai alem anachulin uva yom uva yadoa yimanit. The chatat minalan. So now they want to know, where do you learn this halacha by chatat that you can't use maser sheni money to buy it? Amar Rav Chista, Amar Krav. Rav Chista says the pasuk says, "V'ikriv aharon et par chatat asher lo." So by the way, you have to read this whole pasuk to really understand. It says, you have to read the next pasuk also, which isn't here. "V'yikra tetzayim vav." It says asher lo twice in the pasuk. Okay, which makes it all the more convincing. It says, V'ikriv Aaron par chatat asher lo, v'chiper ba'ado ba'ab beito. And then it says, a few psukim later, V'ikriv Aaron par chatat. Oh, right, that's why. Interesting. They quote the wrong pasuk here in the Torah Or, because it really makes more sense to say that they're talking about pasuk Yud Aleph. Listen to pasuk Yud Aleph. V'ikriv Aaron par chatat asher lo. It's the same thing. Okay, v'chiper ba'ado ba'ab beito. It's the exact same pasuk, by the way. Okay? I don't know why the pasuk repeats. I don't remember the context here. But then it says, v'shachat et parachatat asher lo. So it says asher lo twice, and not only that, it said a few psukim earlier, now we just noticed. So now, why does it say asher lo? So asher lo, now it's a parachatat, it's a korban chatat that he's bringing. And asher lo is coming to tell you that it has to be entirely his and not coming from maser sheni money. Okay, v'lo mishal tzibur, v'lo mishal maser. Can't be tzibur money, communal funds, and it also can't be maser money. Okay, that's our source. Now they're going to question Bayom. You're going to learn from Chatat to all the other korbanot. They have to be done by during the day. Mibiyom tzavoto nafka. This is learned from a different pasuk, which is, it's in Vayikra Zayin, in the summary psukim at the end of all the korbanot that are mentioned. It says, these are the things Asher tziva Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai b'yom tzavotot b'nei Yisrael lakriv et korbanotehem l'Hashem b'midbar Sinai. So they dash it from here, b'yom lakriv et korbanotehem, oh, all the korbanot have to be done during the day. It's obviously not the pshat of this pasuk, but it's a drasham. From here they learn to all the psukim that can't be brought during the day. So why are you saying we learn it from the chatat? So they say very simply, k'dei naspa, which means they just mentioned it here, but it's not really that you learn it from here. Now, there's ones they were saying, things that are mentioned by the Chatat that apply across the board. They mentioned a few other things, but it's not really that you learn it from here. And the same thing they're going to say with this Biyadoa Yimanit. Biyadoa Yimanit, midirabba barbar ochana nafka. What do you mean we learn it from the Chatat? We learned it from a rabba ochana said, de amarabba ochana, amarish lakish, kol makom shenemar etzba v'kuna. You remember this? Anytime it says the word etzba, and anytime it says kuna, Eino ele yamin. If you have those two words, either, well, again, we learned this, okay? The first time we learned it, we said it sounded like either etzba or kihuna, okay? So then, therefore, every korban, it says kihuna, basically. Most of them, a bunch of them, it says etzba, but all of them say kihuna. So wouldn't you assume then we can learn it from there? We don't need to learn it from here. So again, the Gemara answer is kadei naspa. You're right, it didn't really need to mention it. But a second answer, and this we have when we learned this whole sugya about etzba and kihuna, you remember this? Which is, anytime it says kahuna, it doesn't necessarily mean yad yamin unless it also says etzba. If it just says etzba without kahuna, then etzba is going to obviously mean yad yamin. But if it says just kahuna bilvad, we're not going to learn etzba, which then is going to, we're going to need this drasha to teach us from chatat to any other sacrifice where etzba and kahuna were not both mentioned, or etzba wasn't mentioned. Because there's a few where etzba is mentioned, but there's a few where it isn't. And therefore, you might say that that's why we need it. Okay. Continuing now back to, right, that was all just to explain the chatat drasha. Now we're on the asham according to Rabbi Akiva. Ma asham atzmotav mutarin. Afkol atzmotav mutarin. This is, remember, you give the parts to the Kohen, and he can eat the meat, and he can also use the bones to do whatever he wants. Now, the chidush here is also, in other words, what's the chidush? Obviously, if the atzmot are not meat, and you give it to the Kohen anyway, he can have it then. The chidush here, they say, is that you can learn from asham even to an olah. Why? How do we know the asham, the Kohen? Because it's all given to the Kohen. The Kohen can do whatever he wants with it. He can eat the meat how he wants. He can obviously then use the bones however he wants. The chidush here is that even in the korban olah, where everything gets burned, you remember we have this whole thing with the bones. Let us say they fall off the mizbeach. You don't have to put them back on, right, if there's no meat on them. So the bones, even in the olah, when the whole thing's supposed to be burned, if they somehow, the atzamot, end up not on the mizbeach, you know, then you can actually use them to do whatever you want with them, even though the olah is supposed to go all up, because that's not considered part of the meat that's supposed to be burned. Amar Rava. Now we're getting into a different issue. Now we're going back a little bit to the dam and the kvisa, okay, the laundering. Shitali dam chatat lemata v'dam ola lemala ta'un kibus. Let's say, okay, the dam we said was just by chatat, as opposed to these other things, which were by other stuff, all, you know, the other dinim that we learned from chatat to other korbanah. But the issue with the dam is unique to dam chatat. So now what if you get dam chatat on your beged, and then on top of that you get dam ola? So obviously you're going to need to do kibus because first you got dam chatat and the dam chatat got absorbed in your clothes. But by Ravi, here's his question. Dam ola lamata, v'dam chatat lamala. What if you have dam ola first on your clothes? Then you get more blood in the exact same spot and there it's dam chatat, mahu. Do you say, mishum nogeahu, v'ha nogea, is kibus edim because it's touching the baguette and this is actually, you know, the blood is touching the baguette. O dilma mishum baluahu, v'ha lo bala. I assume here they're making a bit of a crossover between the kol asher yigabiv sara yikdash, and that's where we're getting back to kibus. Is it like a piece of meat touching another piece of meat that the flavor is getting absorbed? If it's a matter of being absorbed, well, this blood, what got absorbed in the baguette? The dam ola. Once the dam ola gets absorbed, you can't absorb, the way they look at it anyways, it can't absorb more dam. So it's already, the dam that's been absorbed is ola, and the dam chatat is just touching the baguette. It's not actually absorbed into it. An interesting way of viewing it, because I don't know if that's actually true in a real sense. That's how they viewed it. Odilma mishum baluah v'halo bala, right? And here it wasn't baleah. Hadar pashti, he then answered his own question. De'ein tu'unim kibus. He says, you know what? This isn't, in fact, ta'un kibus. Okay, now we're going to talk about the din of chatzitza. Okay, now we're totally switching topics. If we switched topics a minute ago to something different, now we're really switching topics, which is, once we're talking about blood in a baged, so now we're going to talk about blood being a chatzitza if it's on a baged and you have to be tovel the baged. There's all sorts of cases where you need kibbutz begadim, right, where the begadim have to be toveled, actually. Not the same kibbutz as here, but, you know, if you get a certain type of tumah, the begadim also have to be washed. And there we mean going into a mikvah. So now he says, pshita li damal bigdo chotzetz. So we know from mikvah, right, that there's all sorts of dinim of chatzitza. If there's something on the thing that's supposed to be toveled, whether it's yourself or clothes or whatever it might be on, and you don't want it there, right, you're makpid. That's what we call it. You're makpid to get rid of it. Right? You generally take it off at the end of a day, at some point, right? You have makeup on, you generally take off your makeup. Or you have, you know, that's the whole question with rings. Is a ring chotzeitz if you never ever take it off? There's all different questions about, so that's what we call makpid. So now, they say here, if you have dama bigdo, that's going to be chotzeitz. But im tabachu, but if you're a butcher and you walk around with blood on your clothes all the time because you're constantly shechting and there's always blood and you don't really care, right? If you're, it's like a painter has paint all over their clothes. They just don't care. It doesn't bother them. So im tabachu, eino chotzeitz. It's not going to be chotzeitz. Ravav al bigdo, if you have fat on your baged, chotzeitz. V'im mocher ravavu, and if you're a person who sells fats, then eino chotzeitz. Okay, it's not going to be. But here comes Rava's question. By Rava, you can see why they brought this now, because there's a bit of an overlap with the blood, there's a bit of an overlap with washing, even though it's a different kind of washing, and there's also an overlap in terms of the structure of the way he works here. He said, this we understand is totally fine, but the question is, what about this? It's the same structure. So now he asks, by Rava, dam v'ravava bigdo mahu. What if you have both blood and fat? Im tabachu, typically mishum ravav. V'imocher ravavu, typically mishum dam. So he says, right, if he's the tabach, well, then you'd have to get rid of the ravav because he's not, right, he's kapit. He doesn't want to have ravav on his beged. And if he's mocher ravavu, typically mishum dam. It's an interesting theory that even though you're very dirty with what you're dirty with, you only want to be dirty with what you're usually dirty with and not with something else. But lo tzricha, the question really is, da'avid havaha, what if you're both a butcher and you sell fats? Okay, then, right, v'ha, do we say, achada lo kapid, atarte kapid, o dilma, atarte nami lo kapid. Do we say, look, this guy doesn't care about blood or fats. That's what he's always dirty with both. It doesn't make a difference. Or do we say, you know, when we say a person is in kapid on dirt, we can only mean like from one material, you know, one item. But if he's going to have blood from two different things already, he's going to start being makpid. Teku. And we end our parak with a big teku. We don't know the answer. Hadron alachtam chatat. Of course, it's not the most relevant question in the world. But anyway. Okay, new parak. Tvul yom u'mechusar kippurim. We're now moving on to something different. We're talking about who of the kohanim gets to eat the meat of the korban. Okay, if you remember, this is probably why it's here. It connects with our psukim that we've been dealing with the chatat. I'm just going to open it. In Vayikra Vav, the same parak we were just in, in Pasuk Yutet, it says, HaKohen HaMechate Ota Yochlena B'Makom Kadosh. Remember? It says the Kohen who's doing the Chatat. Now, what would you assume that means? Who gets the meat? The Kohen who actually did the Korban. Okay, but we're going to see that that's not actually what it means. Okay, and then it also said later on, three Pesukim later, Kol Zachar B'Kohenim Yochal Ota, Kodesh Kodeshim. So now we're going to darshan those Pesukim. Okay? So the first thing the Gemara is, first we're going to have the Mishnah, which doesn't darshan any psukim, and then we're going to see it later in the Gemara. So a tful yom is someone who went to the mikvah in the morning, right? Normally you go to the mikvah in the morning and you wait till the evening when the sun sets, you'll become tahor, et seder kochavim, actually. And mechusar kippurim is someone who has to do a 7-day procedure of tahara, and then hasn't yet, like the metzora, the nazir, and then hasn't yet brought his korban that he's supposed to bring on the morning of the 8th. Called Mechusar Kippurim. He's already on Tefillah. It's already been Harev Shemesh. It's already been Seder Kochavim of the night, but he's still missing the Mechusar Kippurim. So if you're a Kohen who's either Tful Yom or Mechusar Kippurim, Einan Chokim B'Kodeshim Lechol La'erev. You can't, even though in theory the Tful Yom can eat in the evening and the Mechusar Kippurim by the evening time, he should have brought his Korban by then. If you have a Kohen in that status and there were korbanot done during the day before he brought his own korban or before the Seder Kochavim, if he was a tful yom, he cannot get a portion of that meat. Onen, what about an onen, a kohen who's dealing with the burial of one of the people he's supposed to be dealing with? Nogea ve'eno makriv. He can be nogea b'kodashim. In other words, he's not considered tameh, that he's going to be metameh the food, but he's eno makriv. He can't sacrifice. Ve'eno cholek lechol la'erev. And he also can't get a portion to eat that evening. The assumption is that he won't be an onen anymore in the evening. Ba'alei mumim. Bein ba'alei mumim ovrim. Bein ba'alei mumim kvuim. Okay, whether you're a ba'al mum that the mum will pass, or whether you're a ba'al mum that you'll forever be a ba'al mum, no matter what, cholkim ve'ochlim, you actually get portions. The ba'alei mum were able to eat the food. Aval lo makrivim. But they can't work, that we know, right? They can't do the avoda. Now there's a very weird sentence, which the Gemara is going to have to explain later. Kol she'eno ro'oi l'avoda, eno cholek be'basar, v'kol she'en lo basar, en lo be'orot. So the first thing is, anyone who can't do the avoda can't get a portion of the meat. Why does this make no sense? Because we just said a minute ago, the Baal Mum can't work and yet gets a portion of the meat. So it's a very odd sentence. B'chol she'en lo b'basar, and anyone who can't get meat, also ein lo be'orot. If you remember, the ola, the one thing we do with the ola is have shepeni tuach. We take off the skin, and they give the skin to the kohanim. So if you're a kohen who, if and remember, the ola has no meat. If in theory you couldn't have gotten the meat, if it was a korban that you could have gotten the meat for, and you couldn't have gotten the meat, then you also can't get the skin. They would divide up the skin. I read that the way they did it was the meat would be divided at the end of every day, which makes sense because otherwise it would spoil, but the skin was divided once at the end of every week, and it came from a Gemara in Pesachim, which I actually don't remember that we learned, but it's an interesting Gemara. It says, it connects with all sorts of Gemaras we learned in Yoma about the competition in the Beit HaMikdash and the fighting between people. The way it worked, there was a mishmar, right? So there was a mishmar of kohanim, and each family worked a different day of the mishmar. There were different families that were on, you know, different batei av within the family that worked in the mishmar. And so every day they would divide up the meat of that day, and each person, I guess, you know, whichever family was on would get it. But at the end of the week, they would divide up the arot because they were worried that it would create, like, tension. If some people took more or some people would, like, try to grab more of the or not. And when you're in a small group, so it's easy to kind of grab it and, you know, whatever. But if you do it in a very public forum, when all the whole mishmar is together, then it's already much more difficult to try to take more because you're doing it very publicly. So that was an interesting note. Okay. So, kol she'en lo basar ein lo be'orot. Okay. Afilu tameh b'sha'at zrikat damim v'tahor b'sha'at hekter chalavim eino cholek b'basar. Right? Even if you were tameh when they threw the dam, but you were already tahor when they did the burning of the parts of that they would burn on the mizbeach, you still can't get the meat. Shenemar hamakriv et dam ha'shlamim ve'et ha'chelev mibnei aharon lo tiyeh hashok hayamin lemaneh. Okay, what does it say there? The one who sacrifices the dam ha'shlamim. Interesting here, the Mishnah actually brings the pasuk. Generally, we talked about the other day, the Mishnah doesn't generally bring pasukim to prove, but here they bring this pasuk that the one who is makriv the dam ha'shlamim lo tiyeh hashok in the manet. So therefore, they say he gets the shok because he was the one who was doing it, which sounds like you have to be ra'oi la'avodah. If you can't be ra'oi la'avodah, you can't eat it. Again, we're going to have to explain about the ma'al mum. Okay, the Gemara starts off. Okay, we're now in Sadi Tedamut Aleph. Minahan emile. Amarish lakish tamar kra hakohena mechate ota yochlena. Oh, here we have. Okay, where do we learn this whole halacha? That the tfuyon, the starki purim, the onim, right? They can't do it. Why not? Because it says, the kohena mechate ota, that was from our pasuk, yochlena. Kohena mechate yochal, sheino mechate eino ochel. Okay, so someone who can potentially do it, and, right, he gets, but not anyone else. Uklalahu. Vahare, mishamra kula, de'ein mechate'im v'ochel. 1 second.
Uklalahu is a question.
Okay, thank you. Viklalahu, okay. So they say, right, this sounds like the one who does it, right? The one who did the avoda does it. So now they say, v'klalahu, is this a klala? V'harei mishamra kula. The whole mishmar gets to eat the meat. De'ein mechati'im v'ochlin, They're not the ones who did the chatat, because not everybody does the avodah together, right? Different people do different days or different animals. Ve'ochlin, and yet they do. So therefore, how do we read this? Ra'oi l'chitoi ka'amrinan. It means someone who's ra'oi to do the avodah. Okay? So now they're going to question this and say, Hare katan, de'in over oi l'chitoi ve'ochel. What do you mean, though? There's a katan, he's not ra'oi for chitoi. In other words, he can't do the avodah, and yet he also gets to eat. Ela, ma yochlena, yichal kenach. Ra'oi l'chitoi cholek. Sheino ra'oi l'chitoi eino cholek. In other words, they take it out of the... They mean yochlena doesn't really mean yochlena. Yochlena means yichal kenach, means you get a portion. The kids don't get a portion. The kids, you know, eat their parents' portion. But you get a portion if you're in the mishmar, basically. And you're ra'oi to do the avodah. Okay, now they're going to ask about our balmum. Hare balmum de'eino ra'oi l'chitoi v'cholek. So how do you explain that? Balmum rachmana rabia. There's a special limud in the pasuk that includes also the balmum. What's that pasuk? Kol zachar b'kohanim. Why does it say kol zachar b'kohanim, that second pasuk in our section? Why did it say all the zacharim, all the males? L'rabo balmum. Comes to include the balmum. So obviously now they're going to say, Ve'ema kol zachar l'rabot tful yom. And that's, why did you say it's to include a balmum? Maybe the pasuk is saying, oh, it's to include even a tameh. You know, it would make sense to say the tameh more likely than the balmum. Why? Because the tameh tomorrow can do the avoda, right? So l'rabot tful yom istabra balmum havale l'ribuye shekein ochel. So they say, no, since the balmum can eat, it's more likely to include the balmum to get a portion. Then they say, and that it's obvious to them that the balmum can eat. The question is just, should he also get a portion? So they say, well, if he can eat, then he should get a portion. Whereas the tameh, and this, right, the tful yom, and the mechusar kibrin can't eat it. So then they say, no, adraba, tful yom havalei l'ribuye, de la'orta mechsechaze. But what do you mean? The tful yom, you're better off including, because by the evening, he'll already be able to do it. He'll be able to eat. Now think about it also. When do you think they ate the meat? Generally, the meals were eaten at the evening, at the nighttime. That's when they would eat their meals. They would eat one meal in the morning hours, and then they would eat one meal in the after, right? That's the whole first sugya in Brachot, the very first sugya of Shas. It's all about, and there's all different, and when do you start saying Kriyat Shema at night? And they give all the different times about when the Ani eats his bread. That's always earlier because it doesn't really have a lot of food to cook. And then there's when the, you know, when people eat on Leilei Shabbat, and when there's all different opinions about when exactly you do it, and one of them is when the Kohanim nichnasim l'chol b'trumatan. It's probably when they also ate their meal in general, and everybody ate their meal because they were working all day long. Once it got dark, they would go home and they would eat. So, oh right, the Ani, the reason why he would eat quickly is because he doesn't have enough light in his house, so he wants to eat before it gets, before, you know, his light burns out. I think that was one of the reasons, if I remember. Okay, so anyway, so hashtamia halochaze. Yeah, but it's true that he'll be able to eat it later, but right now he's not ra'oi, and therefore he's going to be excluded, and the balmum is going to be included. So in theory, anyone who's not ra'oi to do the avoda shouldn't be, but we're going to, the pesach specifically included kol zachar b'kohanim, which seemed to include someone additional. We're going to assume it's the balmum. Rav Yosef Amar, you might also say, what else is he going to eat, right? If all the kohanim were eating the meat from here, that's where they get their food, basically, and he's going to be stuck that he's got no food.
The
balmum, right? He's like permanently, or at least temporarily for a while, till his mum is over. You know, maybe it's a way of taking care of him. Okay, Rav Yosef Amar, michti ma yochlena yichalkena. If you want to say that yochlena doesn't mean eat, but gets a portion, and that answered our question about the katan, lichta brahmana yichalkena, right? Why didn't it just say then yichalkena, if that's what it really meant? Ma yochlena, so why does it say yochlena? Shma mina, ra'oi la'achila cholek, she'eno ra'oi la'achila eino cholek. Okay, that's another reason why the balmum would be included. Bai Rish Lakish, balmum v'hu tamei, ma'u she'yachloku lo. So now, what if he's a balmum and he's tamei? Kevan, do we say, kevan de lo chaze, since he's not ra'oi, but rachman arabia, lo shna, ma'li tamei, ma'li balmum. In other words, he's, what's the difference whether he's tamei or not? Anyway, he's a balmum, and yet the Torah said he could do it. So who cares if he's tamei? He still can get a portion of the meat. Odilma ra'oi la'achila cholek, sheino ra'oi la'achila eino cholek. Or do we say, since right now he's not ra'oi la'achila, because he's tamei, and therefore he can't eat kachim. Remember, someone who's tamei can't eat kachim because he's metamei the kachim. You're not allowed to do that. So therefore, maybe he shouldn't get a portion. So I'm a rabbi. Let's learn from here. Tashma, here's our source. Kohen gadol makriv onen ve'eno ochel ve'eno cholek lechol la'eret. A kohen gadol can do the avoda when he's an onen, but he can't eat. And he also can't get a portion to be eating later that evening. So what do you see here? Even though he can do the avoda even, since he can't eat, he can't get a portion. Shma mina, it sounds like it's all dependent on ro'oi l'achila, because here's a case where he even does the avoda, and yet he can't get a portion. Okay, so shma mina, ro'oi l'achila, binan shma mina. By Rav Oshaya. Here's another question. Tamei b'korbanot zibor mahu. Mahu shiach lokula. What about a tamei when he's doing korbanot zibor? For someone who's tamei who does the korbanot zibor, we say b'dieved it's kasher. Okay, so since it works, he's sort of ra'oi l'avoda. He's sort of, because l'chatchili shouldn't be doing the avoda, but if he did, it would work. So, again, what are we going to say? Mi amrinan ha-mechatei amarachmana v'hai nami mechatei. What's the person do? Person does the korban, and he did the korban. O dilma ro'oi l'achila cholek shein ro'oi l'achila ino cholek. But do we say, since he's tamei and he can't actually eat, then he's not ro'oi to eat, and therefore ino cholek. Again, you can prove it from the exact same source. Amravina tashma kohen gadol makriv onen ve'eno ochel ve'eno cholek le'achol la'erev shma mina ro'oi l'achila binan shma mina. So again, you see, it doesn't matter that you can potentially do the avoda, still can't get a portion. Onen nogea ve'eno makriv. Now we want to talk about this onen. In the Mishnah, it said the onen can be nogea, meaning he's not metame anything, but he's eino makriv. So now they want to say onen nogea u'reminhi, but this contradicts another source. It says onen u'mechusar kippurim tzrichim tefila lakodesh. In onen or mechusar kippurim have to do tefila if they want to touch kodeshim. So that sounds like an onen can't be nogea. It sounds like a total contradiction to what we just said. So Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo kasha, kam b'shetaval, kam b'shelo taval. Okay, we're going to say our Mishnah is talking about an onen that did tefila. If he did the tefillah, then he can come in contact with the kodeshim. So then they say, v'chi taval mayhave, hai hadra ale aninut. But how does it help you to tovel? Doesn't the aninut come right back? It's not like onen status disappears when you tovel. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, we're trying to figure out exactly what the nature of this tefillah for an onen is. It seems weird. First of all, an onen isn't necessarily tamei also, so what's going on? Da'amara baravuna, onen shetaval aninuto chozeret alav. Okay, so here you have it, that even if you're tovel, your aninut goes back to you. So even if you didn't know that, obviously, right, intuitively, here Rabba Bar Rav Huna tells you that. So again, what do they answer? Lo kasha. Ha de asach date, ha de lo asach date. Okay, what does that mean? So now we're going to assume that why are we worried about an onen touching something? Not because he's necessarily tamei, but because a kohen is very careful all the time not to come in contact with tumah. When you're an onen, though, first of all, your mind is on other things. You're not really thinking. Plus, you know you're going to be metame to a mate in another few hours or whenever it's going to be. And therefore, you're not so careful anymore and you might actually come in contact and become a tame mate. So, that's why he has to be tovel. Okay, well, this doesn't make any sense, though. If we're worried that he came in contact with a mate, then what? Then what would happen? Right? In other words, then, by the way, how would that work? In our Mishnah, we say he can touch kodeshim because we're talking about an onen who wasn't mesiach dato. We're now distinguishing in between different types of onen. But an onen, you sort of laugh and say that seems a little silly, but no, because what's it really saying? It's saying that a regular onen, we can assume he wasn't mesiach dat. We assume he's still keeping with his, and therefore he could touch me. But if an onen comes and tells me, you know what? I wasn't so sure. I was really, my head was into other things. It's possible I came in contact with a tamei. With a, let's say right now we're going to say with a tamei mate, so then he tovels and that resolves his issue. That's why the onen would tovel. The onen would tovel in a situation where he was mesiach dato and he wants to touch me for whatever reason, so he'll tovel. Okay, now the Gemara is going to say, but if you're worried that he came in contact with a mate, then obviously tefillah is not going to help him, because what do you need? You need the mechatat, right? You need shlishi v'shvi bai, right? Right? If you had a sechadat, you're going to need this third day, the seventh day, you need to do the sprinklings, then you need a tovel. You can't just do it immediately. Dam Rabbi Yostai, Rabbi Matun, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Hesech Hadat, Tzarich Haza'a Shlishi Ushvi. And you might think, well, maybe not, maybe just because we're worried, maybe came in contact with Tumah, maybe it would be enough to go to the mikveh in the morning. No. He says explicitly in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that if you're a Kohen and all of a sudden you say, you know what, I wasn't really careful about Tumah and stuff, could be I came in contact with a maid, so you have to do Shlishi Shvi and wait. So that's not a good answer. So what are the answer? Lo kasha, had asakhadate mitame meit, had asakhadate mitame sheretz. Okay, there's a difference between hesechadat mitame meit, then you'd need haza'a shlishi ushvi'i. But what we're talking about is you weren't careful about smaller tumas, tumas that you can just go tovel that day. So they say, but tame sheretz, tame ma'al yehu, harif shemesh bai, but then it wouldn't help him. Right? What do we say? He can tovel right then he can come in contact with it. But that wouldn't help you. If it's real Tumat Sheretz, you need to wait till sunset. Ve'od, afilu trumanami. And then he wouldn't be able to come in contact with Truma either. And we're only saying you can't come in contact with Kodshim in this Brayta, not with Kodshim. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Ba'omer nishmarti mitavara mitam'ani, ve'lo mishmarti mitavara poslani. He says it's somebody who comes and says, listen, I for sure didn't come in contact with Tuma, but I might have come in contact with something that was poseloti. Okay, what is poseloti? There's things that can cause, there's if you remember, there's Rishon Sheni Shlishi Revi, right? Revi is only Kodshim. So you could come in contact with something that's a Shlishi, that turns you into a Shlishi, which then could make you posel a Revi. So basically, he's saying there's something that maybe, if you remember, a long time ago we learned this, and the Lashon there wasn't Tumah, it was Pasul. Because you're posel the kodshim. By touching the kodshim, you're posel otam. It's not, you're not metame otam, because if you're metame otam, nothing else, that's the last stage. Nothing else is going to happen. So we can't, and that's what he's saying is, I wasn't careful for something that could have made me a shlishi. Okay? Umi'ika nitiruti lapalga. So now you're saying that there's something about someone who can be careful about some things and not careful about other things. Bahatanya, didn't we learn in the Braita? Odei wasala rosho, umagrefa betocho, va'amar, libi ala sal, ve'en libi ala magrefa, hasal tahor v'amagrefa t'me'a. So he says, yes, in fact, you can, I skipped the word in. Okay? Is there an issue to the palga? And they say, yes, in fact, there is. Because here's a braita that says, if he has this basket on his head, and the magrefa is inside, and he says, listen, I was careful about the sal, but I wasn't careful about the magrefa. The magrefa is this little, rake type thing that they would pick up, they would separate the figs with it. Okay, when the figs got stuck together, they would separate them from that. So they say, if he was careful about that and not about that, so the sal is tahor, the magrefa is tumeah. Then they say, v'titami magrefa la sal, but if the magrefa was in the sal, and he wasn't careful about the magrefa, so we say, how can we say the sal is still tahor? Can't the magrefa mess up the sal? So they say, ain kli matame kli. A kli can't be matame another kli. That's all din, right? A rishon, right? A kli can't become an avatuma. Only an avatuma can be matame kelim and adam. But then a rishon can be matame only ma'achal and mashke, food and drink. So therefore, ain kli matame kli. V'titame masha b'tocho, it should be matame what's inside of it. Amarava Baomer Shmartia Midavara Mitama Velo Shmartia Midavara Posla. Again, they're gonna say the same thing, which is you can say I was careful from anything that was it didn't come in contact with a Rishon that would be Mitame Asheni, which would cause something to be Asheni, but he wasn't careful from something that could be Posel Kodshim, which would then, not mess up what was inside, because what was inside obviously wasn't Kodshim. We were talking about fruits or something. Okay. Let's stop here for today, and actually, we should probably go on just a little bit. Let me look at this in a second. No, we'll stop here. There's a next thing. Okay, so
maybe on Monday.